You may be seated. Thank you. And any kids up through fifth grade are, of course, dismissed at this time to go to their class. And the rest of us, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 24. That's in your pew Bibles on page 207. So Joshua chapter 24, beginning with verse 14, and then I'll read through verse 25. All right, Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if you be unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it's the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem.
What do you suppose is the biggest decision you have ever made? What is the biggest decision you will ever make? Depending on how old you are, your answer may vary. As a senior in high school, I was certain that who I took on the prom was the most important thing in the world. As a college student, I was convinced that the most important decision I would make is where to go to school or what my major should be. Others of us might count who we will marry, where will I live, how much money do I put into a retirement account, do I buy a house or do I rent a house, should I have children, should I forgo children, what version of the Bible should I use. I like the King James Version even though I don't understand it, or should I use the New Revised Standard Version? In the 24th chapter of Joshua, Joshua calls together the children of Israel. At this point in his life, he is 110 years old and knows that he is reaching the end of his ministry. So he assembles the children together and he tells them that there is a decision that must be made. You have a choice to make. This great biblical leader and military strategist begins with the people by recalling to them and reminding them of all that God has done for them. In verses 1 through 13, he reminds them that it was Yahweh, the God who brought them out of Egypt and sent plagues to convince Pharaoh to let them go. And then when that same Pharaoh sought to kill them and came after them, it was the same God who had sent the plagues that divided the Red Sea and allowed them to walk through in safety. He reminds them of all the tribes and all the nations that God has given them victory over. He points out to them that they are living in houses that they did not build and eating from vineyards that they did not plant. And then in verse 15, he says to them, "Yet, if it is undesirable to you to serve the God that did all of those things, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the God of your fathers, which your fathers served with were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live today. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All day, every day, we make decisions, some large and some insignificant. The other day, I took 10 minutes to decide whether I wanted a turkey sandwich on whole wheat bread or a turkey sandwich on white bread. Clearly, that is a minimal decision with minimal impact, but some of our other decisions hold great consequences and affect our lives in great ways. Each person walking this earth has the God-given capacity to make choices. We are created in God's image, and He has given us the ability to self-determine. Not that all of us use the same common sense that God gave us when we're making decisions, but still, we have the ability to make decisions. It would have been much easier for God if He had just not given us free will, if He had not given us the ability to make decisions, because then things would go exactly how He planned. But our worship and our love of God is inauthentic when we don't have free will. I have 4 nephews, the oldest of which is now 15. And back when he was 5 or 6 years old, when I would come home, he would be really excited that I was home. And he'd run over and he'd give me a hug and he'd give me a kiss. And he was actually excited that I had come back home. Now at 15, when I walk through the door, he barely looks up from his phone when he acknowledges my presence. And he's not doing so because he's actually excited that I'm home, but he's doing it out of obligation and because he has to. His response is mechanical. He's doing it because he doesn't feel like he has a choice. And if we didn't have choices, that's what our worship would become, mechanical and meaningless. If we didn't have free will, it would mean nothing that we chose to serve God. Joshua says to the people of Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. But here's the thing about making choices. It's a great freedom, but it carries with it great responsibility. No matter what decision I make, God will honor it. That's what gives my choice power. The fact that He doesn't disregard my choices, but that He allows me to make them. No one can force you to believe in God. No one can force you to serve God. Those are choices you must make alone. And for better or for worse, you deal with the consequences of your choices. Now, I myself listen to lots of music, mostly R&B, gospel, a little bit of hip hop. But occasionally I find myself listening to a country song. And there's a country song written by George Jones where the chorus goes like this. I've had choices since the day I was born. There were voices that told me right and wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made. It's a simple song, simple chorus. We all will live and die by the choices we make. For better or worse, once we make a decision, we're stuck with it. The responsibility that comes with the ability to make choices is that we have the power to determine our own destiny. We have a choice of whether or not to pursue darkness and all their influences, or we choose to pursue God and godly things. At some point, we have a choice to make, and we must be prepared to live and die by that choice. So, but not does Joshua only say to the people they have a choice to make. He tells them they have a choice to make today. It's urgent. It cannot wait until tomorrow. This decision is urgent and cannot wait until tomorrow because this decision, making the decision of whom you will serve, determines how you will make every other decision. Everything else that you do is placed on hold until you know whom you will serve or what you will serve. It's not the same as a decision that has no consequence because this decision affects the rest of your life. It guides all future decisions. It determines how your life will go. Notice, though, that he does not give them the option of not serving a God. No person is an island. We are all guided by rules, and there are certain principles that guide our actions. Every person has a God. It's not whether or not you will serve a God, but rather what God will you serve. For the Israelites, it was Yahweh's competition were the gods of their fathers from Egypt or the gods of the Amorites in the land where they dwelt. And while we don't call them by the same name, we are actually choosing between the same gods. We're choosing between Yahweh and the gods of pleasure. We're choosing between the Lord God who has seen us through past trials and tribulations, or our own God, or the God of our own intellect. We're choosing between the God that we said that we serve and the gods of our culture. Choosing not to serve the one true God is a decision to serve some other God. Joshua lays out their choices for them. Choose for yourselves whom you will serve. But he ends verse 15 with a strong declaration. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's amazing how one word can hold so much power. Four-letter word, W-I-L-L. It signifies that a decision is being made. If you contrast that with a few other words, you'll notice the impact of how the statement changes. I could serve the Lord. I might serve the Lord. I can serve the Lord. I should serve the Lord, as compared to I will serve the Lord. The word could declares that there's a decision that needs to be made. The word might gives the impression that we've put some consideration into it, but not have yet reached a conclusion. The word can speaks of our ability to make a choice, while the word should speaks to the fact that we know something is required of us. Yet only when the sentence is used with the word will does it speak on how we will act. God wants us to reach a point where we make a decision. But it doesn't just stop with making decision. Once you've made the decision, you have to stand firm on it. While the children of Israel were wandering in the desert and when they were escaping Egypt, they faced many obstacles, and God continued to provide for them. Each time God provided for them, they were satisfied and content to serve him. But the moment there was no imminent danger, their faith began to waver. The moment another option presented itself, the old option no longer seemed necessary, and they thought of betraying it. In 1519, Spanish explorer Cortez landed at Veracruz. And to begin his conquest of Mexico, he had 700 men with him. And as the legend goes, that once they had left the ships and they were on land, he gave the order for the ships to be burned and the men to watch them sink into the Gulf of Mexico. He wanted it etched in their minds that their only decision was forward, that they were going to stick with the decision that they had made. And when we make our decision on whom we will serve, we need to be as certain. We need to think of all the other things that we could have served or thought about serving as having been burned and in the bottom of the Gulf. Our only decision is to move forward and to stand and say, I will put away all other gods and walk boldly with the Lord. The thing that usually keeps us from making a decision, the thing that makes us waver on our decisions, is fear. And fear is a powerful emotion. Fear causes even the strongest individuals to stay in a state of paralysis. Fear produces anxiety, it produces nervousness, self-doubt. We begin to realize that maybe we are insufficient for the task that's before us. Or sometimes it's the fear of missing out on something else, thinking that there might be something better out there that keeps us from standing firm on a decision. We've all had moments like that. But the thing that keeps me moving and the thing that keeps me motivated and dedicated to the decision that I've made to serve the Lord is that whenever I am facing something that seems too big for me, I remind myself that there is nothing too big for God. God is much stronger, much smarter. God is bigger and badder than anything that I could ever face. The courage to make a decision and stand firm on it comes from knowing that even though I am insufficient, God is more than sufficient for everything that I might need. That's why Joshua started this chapter out by reminding the Israelites of all that God had already done. When we look forward, we need not fear, because we know that the same God that brought us through everything else can bring us through whatever we encounter ahead of us. He has proven himself faithful. I don't have to cower at the thought of choosing between God and something else, or Yahweh and another God, because I am choosing to submit myself to someone who is wiser than I am. I am choosing to submit myself to a God that is stronger and has more power than I do. God has the ability to do anything. but he has chosen to give us a choice and to make us co-laborers in this work. Not only is he choosing us, but he gives us the opportunity to make a choice as well. I cannot tell you who to choose, but I can say that as for me and my house, like Joshua, we will serve the Lord. I am committed to embracing the power God has given me and my ability to make choices and turning it down in humility, saying that I know God knows better. I am giving him back that same power that he has bestowed upon me. But I ask you, what choice will you make?